You sound perfect.
You're clear.
It's the iPhone, man. It's the iPhone.
Those guys at Apple, man, they're fucking crazy.
They're years ahead.
We need to get this guy on the show, man. He sounds hilarious. Or maybe he has to be drunk.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not sober. I'm not gonna lie.
Not gonna lie to you.
I'm not gonna lie.
That's the Dan saying, you know.
So this is the late night call. Just we're gonna release this post Providence, so people who are listening now will hear, you know, what we discussed prior to our preparation, and so we don't spoil any tech before the tournament.
There's no tech. None of us have tech except for Jonathan Smithers. You know, Smithers is right here, and he's saying that all of us are screwed because he's gonna take this tournament.
Well, I don't know. He does have a GP in his belt to prove it, you know?
Yeah.
He does have a GP in his belt. But you know what? John Smithers is playing... What card can I spoil? He's playing Squadron Hawk at this Grand Prix.
And plus, I've actually never heard of anyone winning the lottery twice in a row.
No one's won the lottery twice in a row. You're right. That's just... Well, no. He's got Atlanta in between, right? He's got...
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's got the placeholder. He's good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, you know, we should Wesco check this up, you know?
We should Wesco check, but I'm not betting. You can bet. You can bet whatever the fuck
you want. I wouldn't bet because that's against DCI rules and regulations.
But we Wesco checked.
I don't think the DCI accepts that as an acceptable term. It's like, oh, we said Wesco check, so that's cool. You guys go ahead and bet.
Can we do a farmer's bet?
What's the farmer's bet? Sorry, I don't hear it, like the middle of a tree.
Dude, I live in Ontario. That's not the middle of a tree.
Well, some places in Ontario are.
Okay, well, I live
there in are trees in Ontario,
great
right?
City of Ottawa.
I feel sorry for you.
The great city.
You know, at least a tree's nice and comfortable. You're
you
know,
say all you want, but you're going to be here 2 weeks out of the next three.
You got me there.
Yeah, I did get you there. You couldn't even come up with a comeback.
Playing some magical cards.
Yeah, but that's what we're all here for.
So you can spoil more stuff, Dan. But I'm releasing this podcast like after the GP, and you've already told me the bulk of Smithers' deck.
Well, I gave you four cards out of 60.
Whoa, he's playing four Squadron Hawks.
I don't know how much he wants me to spoil.
You didn't say he was playing four Squadron Hawks. I thought he was playing like two or three. Whoa. Well,
okay, so he's got a playset of Squadron Hawks and zero Force of Wills. Batterskull. Oh, he's got Batterskull in his deck too. So can you assume that there's four Stoneforge Mystics? I don't know. I guess that's for you to
figure out. If you look on Mana Deprived, you can find a list of Merfolk that is splashing white for two Stoneforge Mystics with a Batterskull.
Two for Squadron Hawks? I don't think so. So I think you're off to.
No, but doesn't have to play four Stoneforge Mystics to play four Squadron Hawk. Okay. That's a logical impurity, okay, into your argument.
Thank you for that, Alexander. Thank you for enlightening us.
So, Dan, have you seen the list?
Talking about enlightening, does the deck play Enlightened Tutor?
Excuse me, Alexander, you've interrupted KYT. Can you?
Yeah, I do that all the time, though. I'm used to it. He's used to it, too.
Continue, KYT.
Okay, because Alex is hopefully, I think he sees potential in the list I sort of put together based on the concepts that me, you, and like all three of us sort of talked about in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to know your take on it, what you would change, et cetera, if it's total BS.
Was this the list you posted a couple hours ago on Facebook?
Right, right.
I actually don't see any glaring issues with it. I do... I do think it's all right. I didn't take a great deal of time to look over it, but I like the sort of approach. It's similar to the list I posted or the list I mentioned to you guys. But yes, I mean I don't see any huge issues with it. I do agree with a lot of the choices you've made.
This is the list KYT that you posted in the secret top secret group on Facebook. But only people have written a specific number of articles for Mana Deprived, plus have passed a certain test, are able to see.
I mean, I think it's all right. I'm not sure I like the four the playset of standstills in there.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the stencils either. Like,
because I mean, your deck doesn't seem to do a whole lot without, like, even with them in play. Like, you're not sold on a win, right?
No, you're. But I mean, you do the same thing as the mono blue deck does.
Right, but that deck can sit on Shackles.
Yeah, but like, or you could sit on a Stoneforge Mystic.
Right.
I mean, you just have less
threats. They play two Shackles and you have four Stoneforges.
I mean, yeah, you have less threats to sit on, though, however.
You sound very unconvincing somehow.
I don't know. You already need to be ahead to be able to sit on that standstill. That's just the way I look at it.
Isn't it the same? How is it different than the Jerry T. Drew Levin deck in terms of standstill usage?
Right. Shackles is almost unanswerable in this format. Okay. It's already got the wavelength and the
mission. We can fit Shackles.
Okay, so you're saying the two copies of Shackles in their deck that they would also have to preemptively play before the standstill is the reason why this deck can't play standstill and that deck can?
I mean, I've toyed around with the mono blue standstill deck already. And its ability to sit on standstill is not something that can be accomplished in the early game. It's something that sort of does late game to recoup. And that's usually when it already has a Jace in play or a Shackles as well as Mishra's Factories in play. And it also...
Did someone just die in the background?
Yeah, I've got people over there. They're drinking as well.
Drinking and fighting?
There's also no Force of Will in the list. So, I mean, it has... I mean, it's not really equipped to fight the early game, right? And that's sort of what you're looking for when you're playing with Stoneforge Mystics and company. I don't know. Like, I definitely have to play a few games, but it doesn't seem like it's, I don't know. Like, there's no glaring holes, but.
Yeah, and I think Rob said the same thing about the standstills, and I played a few games against Alex where certain matchups it was awkward, especially against Merfolk.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like there's some situations where you drop the standstill and you'd be completely behind in two turns and you wouldn't even anticipate it, right?
Well, I personally actually agree that standstill is not good in this deck, but like I also don't really like it in the mono blue Jerry T. Drew Levin deck. So I was just wondering on your thoughts of why like it's considered acceptable in that deck and not in this one. And I really don't think the two Shackles or whatever is a good enough reason, really.
Well, I mean, the way I look at it is that Stoneforge is not going to end the game. It's just going to be your way to get ahead. Shackles actually ends the game unless it's completely destroyed by, like, a Vindicate, I don't know, like, Crows and Grip, like, whatever. Stoneforge, at the end of the day, is just a creature.
But it finds Batterskull, though.
It does find Batterskull, but Batterskull...
How do they beat Batterskull? Batterskull just wins.
It doesn't do a whole lot when there's no Stoneforge Mystic in play.
But there is the Stoneforge Mystic in play, because you just played a Stoneforge Mystic.
I've had this issue with a couple people, actually. Stoneforge Mystic is fine. It's actually a very good creature, but when it's finding a Batterskull, the Batterskull actually doesn't do anything unless you've got either a way to defend the Stoneforge Mystic completely or keep it in play for the rest of the game. So, I mean, it's really good against Merfolk, but the matchups where you really want the Batterskull is the Zoo or, like, the really aggressive matchups, and those decks have the abilities to kill the Stoneforge Mystic. And without the Mystic in play, like, Batterskull is just a really clunky equipment that doesn't do a whole lot. With the Stoneforge Mystic, it's literally an unkillable creature that can be flashed in whenever it wants, right?
Right, and it's really good against control decks, too. You don't need it just against the aggro decks. How does a control deck deal with you just, like, Team America, how the fuck did they deal with a Batterskull and Stoneforge? Like, there's like, oh, isn't that fucking dandy? Like, I guess they're going to go further through your Stoneforge, and then, like, you still have a freaking Batterskull, and, you know, your deck's playing counter spells, too. You could counter their shit.
But, I mean, against those control decks, I feel like Jit or sort of Fire Knights are, like, an equivalent sort of proactive equipment that can be using to attack them.
Really, you think like against a control deck, the Jit is the plan? Like Sword of Fire and Ice, I can buy.
I don't think it's like, the plan, but I think it's an unanswerable threat. I think it's just as good as the creature itself.
Really, because like certainly in this deck, right? There's four Spellstutters, four Stoneforge Mystics in KYT's current list, and
right?
Four Mutavaults that can fucking wear a sword or whatever. You know, like. The control deck's not going to have that much trouble, like, dealing with all of those cards. Whereas a Batterskull, like, how are they going to deal with that?
Sure, it's a spread upon itself, but, like, once they deal with it, without a Stoneforge Mystic, it's a threat that you have to pay 8 mana to both return to your hand, then cast again.
Yeah, you don't have to pay in the same turn, though. You can pay it in two separate turns.
Correct, but that's 8 mana. Most legacy decks don't have access to that kind of mana.
So you mean 3 and then 5?
Right.
In a control deck, when they're against a control deck, when you're playing a grind-out match?
This is awesome.
He's just trying to make me, you know, like Kate.
Nah. Well, I love Batterskull. I love Batterskull, so I have to be with Alex in this.
I mean, I have a little bit of experience in Standard with it. And I mean, even in Standard, 8 mana is rather the investment, like a huge investment. And without Stoneforge Mystic, it just seems to fall apart, that whole strategy. Like, you'd rather be doing something else more productive. In Legacy, I would only anticipate that to be more so.
That's where you're wrong. Like, I tried the blue-white, you know, Jerry T. Standstill deck, and I was playing against a guy who basically, he had a Stoneforge, and he Stoneforged for Batterskull. And, like, I dealt with the Stoneforge, but the Batterskull is just such a fucking bitch. Like, just first of all, any of his creatures, you know, he can go 5, and you equip it to his guy, and it gets +4/+4 Vigilance Lifelink. You know how fucking big that is? I couldn't Shackles this guy, because it's just so big.
I don't know. I mean, like, then, maybe, like, you'd have to play some games against me, but I can't be sold on the Batterskull when your opponent is able to remove the Stoneforge Mystic from play. If the Stoneforge is not living, I just don't see Batterskull being the ultimate threat that you say it is.
But, like, let's say they're killing your Stoneforge, right? Mm-hmm. You've just gained a card. You're like, they've killed your Stoneforge, you still have a Batterskull.
Yes and no, but I mean, like, if they kill it right away once you tutor, you've still got a 5-mana equipment that's stuck in your hand that's not really going to be doing a whole lot the rest of the game, unless you can get it in play.
Yeah, that's not that hard, because you can get to 5 lands. I think your deck usually plays 5 lands to tap for mana.
I mean, I don't know. Like, what are you playing against that this seems to be the issue for the control deck to face? Like, you're playing against a Standstill, obviously, right? Where it takes, like, 100 turns to win. Like, I mean, playing Batterskull. Try hard casting Batterskull against something like Merfolk or like Zoo or
Teo. Well, when is Merfolk ever killing your Stoneforge Mystic?
Well, that's the thing. Like, okay, so like I said, Merfolk is the deck where you really want Batterskull because they can't actually answer the Stoneforge Mystic. But the other aggro decks that can actively remove the Stoneforge creates an issue for you to put the Batterskull into play.
So which other aggro decks are these?
Like Zoo, Goblins, Mono Red. I don't know, what BU? Like,
so when where have you seen these decks?
So those seem like the decks where you would actually want the Lifelink Vigilance, right?
Were you asleep when you played against
the
deck? Were you like, you're like, oh man, I'm playing against Mono Red at the GP.
You can't actually rule those decks out, though. Just because you don't see them at your local store doesn't mean they're not going to be at the Grand Prix.
Well,
and
I
those should be in the matchups where you want the Lifelink, though, right?
No, you want the Batterskull in every single matchup.
Except combo.
Except against combo, it's like a guy. It beats down, you know? Your Stoneforge is usually no good to find, like, sort of Fire and Ice in those matchups.
I think I would need to play some games to be convinced. It's just, like, I don't know. It just seems a little out of the ordinary for me.
Yeah, I think you need to play some games because, like, everybody who's played with that is just like, wow, this is just so stupid.
Yeah, I've played some games against Batterskull in Legacy, but those were ones where I was behind the wheel of Merfolk. And, I mean, yes, it did seem good, but I had a lot of complaints for the Batterskull myself because I was not able to actively remove the Stoneforge Mystic.
Okay.
The 4/4 wall is an issue. But the lifelink isn't all that relevant against decks that aren't trying to, like, burn you out, like, expend one or two cards at a time to deal 3 to 6 damage.
Well, okay, you were playing Merfolk, and that card was annoying for you. And you think would you say that the Stoneforge for Batterskull is good against Merfolk? Would you agree with that, Meat, on that?
It's fine. It's not something that I would try to... that's not my game plan every game against Merfolk. It just happened to fall into place every now and then.
So what would you think would be a better game plan against Merfolk?
Well, I mean, like, I'm not saying that Stoneforge is... Or, I mean, the Batterskull is the best plan against Merfolk. I would usually go for Umezawa's Jit. Because usually my Stoneforge decks would be set up with Dark Confidant or Squadron Hawk or something. Or Tarmogoyf.
Let's say you're playing Dark Confidant, then, which you said before. Gaining 4 life, like, each turn is not relevant with the Dark Confidant?
I would rather be getting an Umezawa's Jit to get in there in combat and remove their creatures.
With which creature? Which creature would be attacking?
The Dark Confidant and the Stoneforge Mystic.
So both of these creatures at the same time, both wearing Jits?
No, dude.
this is awesome.
I think you're just trying to find ways to make me wrong right now.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the point of a debate.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
I mean, like the ability to actively remove creatures once you've dealt damage is pretty relevant, and keeping creatures off the board is extremely relevant against Merfolk when they're trying to create advanced lords.
Like I agree that in a deck that's playing large quantities of creatures, and for instance, like playing your Stoneforge to get a Jit is a lot better. But in this type of deck where your creature count is typically relatively low, and you're playing like basically a blue-white deck against Merfolk, not, you know, you don't have Bobs, you don't have Goyfs, you don't really want to get a Jit there, because you get a Jit and like, okay, you get a Jit, and then turn three, you're like, oh, put in my Jit, and they're like, okay, you're at five life, and you're like, equip my Stoneforge with Jit. Attack you. They're like, block. Okay, you have two counters on your Jit. Good luck, have fun.
And like, it might depend entirely on the deck. Certainly in a more controlling version, you might want Batterskull. But the version I was testing for a week or so before I decided that I was probably going to sit Providence out was a Stoneforge deck with Squadron Hawks and stuff. It was set up more to be a Kago version where I would have creatures available at my disposal at all times, and I would normally go for Jit.
Okay. Another question. Why are you sitting out Providence?
Wizards came out with a new policy where they would extend the rating, I don't know what you would call it, I guess policy, back to June 1st. It basically makes it so you have 2 extra weeks to qualify for your whatever country you're in nationals. My rating being, I don't know, somewhere around 2,000 where it is, it's pretty risky to go to Providence. Provided a poor result, I would entirely lose my nationals invite. With both that and the lack of money at my disposal right now, it just doesn't seem like a great idea to go all the way, and I think an 8-hour drive, I think it is, all the way to Providence, spending a couple $100.
But you were going to go to Providence before the rating changes, despite the money.
Well, it's just another issue, right? Like, I would lose my nationals invite, which I feel is a more important tournament.
Okay, well, I have another question then. Did you notice that your voice got higher pitched when you lost your balls?
When I what?
When you lost your balls.
Lost my balls?
Yeah. Did your voice get higher pitched?
Is this going up on Man in Prime? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Unplugged, man. You know my podcast.
Actually, you just call this podcast like Alexander Haine fights with Dan Lanthier. Alexander Haine tries to stir the pot.
I wanted input on my deck.
If you listen to Lanthier's laughter, you can tell it is rather high pitched.
I don't know, the threat density in your, like, going back to your deck, the threat density seems to be a little low. You might be wanting another threat that is able to carry a piece of equipment.
Like Vendilion Clique, maybe?
What about like a Batterskull? That card can carry equipment, I hear.
Alexander.
I've heard people suggest Clique to me.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the version I was running had 2 or 3 clicks. I can't remember, it's been a while. But, I mean, having access to only 8 creatures, and none of which can tutor anymore, like, I'm obviously referencing Squadron Hawk right now, that actually gets 4 copies of itself.
What about if, like, Stoneforge Mystic could find another creature?
I love this.
Like a Battered Skull or something.
It sounds like someone might be obsessed with a certain card interaction.
Okay. Dan, what are suggestions you have? Let's wrap this up.
Okay, I mean, like, the version I was testing myself had, I think it was 11 creatures. I think I started off with 4 Stoneforge, 4 Squadron Hawks, 3 Vendilion Clicks, as well as I moved from 4 Mutavaults, because I had originally had Spellslayer Sprites in the deck, which you have now, but I had moved the Spellslayer Sprites out, added the Squadron Hawks in, so I moved to Mishra's Factories, but then I added Mutavaults afterwards. So I actually had 7 man lands and just dropped the Wastelands entirely, because I wanted to do more with my mana, and moved up the Chromox count. I don't think you have any Chromoxes, actually, as I look at this. But anyways, I had 2 to 3 Chromoxes in my deck at the time. So I had actually moved myself up to, I think, what it is, like, I don't know, 17 creatures, I think. 18 creatures. So I was more all in on the Umezawa's Jit and sort of Fire and Ice plan than I was in the Batter Skull. So I had bodies to carry my equipment at all times. So I was more of an aggressive control. This seems to be more of a reactive. I mean, you've got the Stoneforge, but the Spellslayer is not going to be cast until it has the spell to counter.
So, Dan, have you had a lot of success making your own decks and playing them?
I mean, not typically in the past. I'm not really a deck builder at heart, but I mean...
Okay, thank you. That is all.
Look at Alex. Alex, do you see us trying... Like, I think, Dan, the only reason I'd try Chrome Mox is if I'd put Hawks myself as...
Well, exactly. Like, the idea was that the card disadvantage that would be... that would be inflicted upon yourself by the Chromox was improved by adding Squadron Hawks to the deck, because you'd have more cards to remove to your Chromoxes, whatever. It wouldn't be a dead draw late game, so you'd have more to do with your mana in the late game. And the idea was to have the deck be more resilient as the game goes on.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I myself was never really on the Batterskull train. Like, I never really... tried to push it as a strategy in Legacy. I did try it for a few games. I did try it for a few matches against certain archetypes, but it wasn't really something that was at the forefront of my mind at all times. I was more trying to make the Umezawa's Jit sort of Fire and Ice, sort of Light and Shadow interaction work.
Okay.
Because I think the Batterskull plan is actually really effective. Like, from our testing, it seems like that plan actually makes like the Merfolk matchup not bad, which is something, you know, most blue control decks, like Brimstorm decks, can't say, right?
I mean, I guess that's fair. I mean, if you're really gunning for only Merfolk, Batterskull is certainly a strategy.
Well, that's the deck you're having, because you're beating everything else just from, you know, being, like, well, having a lot of counters and having removal and stuff. Like, Merfolk is your worst matchup, really.
It's certainly your worst matchup, but I can't really agree with you that you're beating everything else.
So what do you think this type of deck would have difficulty beating?
I think you'd honestly, my opinion is I think you'd have a problem going along with the Standstill deck and the Team America decks. I feel like their cards are just pound for pound better than all of yours.
Okay, dishonestly, what do you think?
Nice.
Okay, I think we're going to have to end this. Alex is going to needle you all the time.
I'm pretty sure that's his goal in this conversation. Is just
that's what you're supposed to do to cart things that have activated abilities.
Okay.
I hear the laughter in the background.
Yeah,
these guys
really
liked my joke.
They're actually in a completely different room.
I know. I personally thought it was terrible, but those guys clearly found it hilarious.
Yeah, well, I guess they're just in a different time zone. They can hear your podcast before it's even posted.
They're just next level. They're just like, you know, they see the joke behind the joke. Mm-hmm. They see the next level humor.
All right, we're going to have to move on to the other guys because the other guys are constantly messaging me. But
fuck that.
This is Dan Lanche, everyone. And hopefully we'll hear more from him and get him on Crazy Talk at some point.
Yeah, hopefully,
well, I look forward to it in the future.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We'd like to have you on it, you know.
Medina, but hopefully, what was your comment there? Hopefully,
huh?
I don't know. You started saying something. Hopefully, I thought it was going to be another stab at my expense.
Yeah.
I was actually looking forward to the punchline.
Sorry. You distracted me so much that you foiled my attempt.
This might be really hard to top. So behind Mana Deprived.
Yeah, Dan Lanche, right. A member of a secret crew of players bent on deciding decks that play Squadron Hawk.
It's really not that bad, dude. I wouldn't look down on it. I think it actually will be popping up in a few decks in the future for Legacy. I think it's
pretty sweet with Chromox, because, you know, like, you each Hawk past the first really loses a lot of value. And
exactly.
So if you're printing them on Moxes, you're gaining, like, value back, right?
I think it's actually
worth itself. You're turning that Squadron like a little bit of a white ritual, sort of, right? You're, like, playing two mana, and you get an extra mana for the rest of the game from that Chromox.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic or serious right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Which one, if you had to take a random guess, which would you think it would be? All right, thanks for having you on, Dan.
Yo, you are terrible for this site.
I love that. Bye, guys.